Good morning, everyone. We're walking through Romans chapter 11, verses 11 through 32 this morning. It is a very large section, so this will be longer than normal, but I will try to keep it brief. Verse 11 says, "I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they?" Paul brings in sharp imagery. To stumble, you can recover, but to fall, obviously, you do not recover, you go down. And his answer is, far from it. They did not stumble to fall. He answers his own question. But by their wrongdoing, salvation has come to the Gentiles. So in their rejection of the Messiah, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. This is the purpose for the gospel turning to the Gentiles, that Israel would be made jealous. Now, if their wrongdoing proves to be riches for the world, and their failure riches to the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? So this is not a fall, again, as Paul has pointed out. And in an argument of the lesser to the greater, if salvation is extended to all the world, how much more will the gospel so to affect God's chosen nation? But I am speaking to you who are Gentiles. So he turns to continue to address the Gentiles and their state. Therefore, insofar as I am an apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. So Paul has been commissioned as a Jew to be an evangelist to the Gentiles. If somehow I may move on, I may move my own people to jealousy and save some of them. So this is right in line with Paul's statements in chapter 9 and 10 about his desire to see Israel come to salvation. Verse 15, "For if their rejection proves to be the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead?" So their rejection of the Messiah proved to bring the gospel to the rest of the world. And again, arguing from lesser to greater, their belief so too will bring eternal life. In verse 16, it says, "If the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also. And if the root is holy, the branches are as well." So a good start to dough means good dough. A good root means a good bush. Verse 17, "But if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you." So though these branches that were broken off were removed, it does not negate the fact that they were a part of the original root, and you have been brought in and supported by that root. Verse 19, "You will say, then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in." One commentator said it this way: Israel's temporary loss was the Gentiles' permanent gain. Quite right, they were broken off for their unbelief. So why were these branches broken off? Because of their disbelief. But you stand by your faith. So how are we supported? By faith alone. Therefore, there's no room for boast. Do not be conceited, but rather fear. This functions as a warning, a sober warning for us. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. See then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell severity, but to you, God's kindness. If you continue in his kindness, for otherwise you too will be cut off. So we see a common theme through the New Testament of an encouragement to persevere and hold fast to the faith which has taken hold of you. Verse 23, and they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So of course, just as God has saved the Gentiles, he too can save the Jews by belief. Verse 24, "For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and contrary to nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? They came from the foundation in the first place and can be put back on. For I do not want you, brothers and sisters, to be ignorant or uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." So there will be another shift at the end of this time. And verse 26 says, "And so all Israel will be saved." We learn that there will be a mass turning of Israel to the Savior, just as it is written. So how do we know these things? Well, Zechariah 12:10 says, "The deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins." In relation to the gospel, they are enemies on your account. Verse 29, yes, they've rejected the Messiah and the gospel, but in relation to God's choice, they are beloved on account of the fathers. they came from that good root. Verse 29, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. Verse 30, for just as you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, so these also now have been disobedient, that because of the mercy shown to you, they also may now be shown mercy. For God has shut up all in disobedience so that he may show mercy to all. So no matter Jew or Gentile, all are disobedient. Thus salvation is mercy. Mercy to all. It's not earned. It's not deserved. But it's given by grace. Therefore, there's no pride. There's no prejudice. There's no earning. But rather great magnification of God's severity on those who reject, and a great giving of kindness to those who believe. God's word is not falling short, but it will be fulfilled in the future. Why? Because he's merciful. God has not rejected Israel. They're temporarily set aside in their disbelief while the Gentiles are being saved. In the future, Israel will have their hearts turned to God. God judges and gives mercy. All his actions magnify his unique excellencies. Numbers 23, God is not a man that he would lie. Hebrews 6, 18 says, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to hold firmly to the hope set before us.